want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program today. My name is still Bob Arthurs, and we're coming off of an exciting weekend in the Arthurs household as my youngest daughter got married over the weekend. And so we had the wedding on Saturday. We've had all sorts of family in, and some of the family's already gone. Another segment is going to stick around for a few days, and then some of them are sticking around for a few months. So we are certainly rejoicing, although that does leave me in a bind because my daughter was very involved in our ministry at Merritt Assembly of God. So if you'd be praying for us, we'd greatly appreciate that we would have the wisdom of God in knowing how to move forward and filling the ministry assignments that God has given us the privilege of having. I do want to say thank you today to the folks at Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. If you have any block or concrete work that you need to have done, you can give them a call. I'm not going to tell you what some of their projects have been and are, but I will tell you this, that if you have driven on Merritt Island, you have seen their handiwork. If you've been anywhere near the 520 and Courtney corridor, you have seen their craftsmanship. And so I tell you, they do good work. They do large projects. They've done some smaller projects. But if you need anything in your construction project that has to do with block or concrete, I encourage you to give the folks at Jits Concrete a call. JITS 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804, and you will be glad that you did. So thank you once again for tuning in, and I pray that you are getting geared up for Thanksgiving. We have been talking this month at Merritt Assembly of God. I've been preaching on the appointments that God has for us, that we have an appointment to be heard, that we have an appointment to receive help, that we have an appointment to be saved, that we have an appointment to be delivered, to be healed. We have an appointment, and that appointment is today. We have an appointment, and that appointment is today. So I want to make sure that you know about those appointments, because there's nothing worse than missing an appointment you didn't know that you had. God longs for you and I to have relationship with him. And then the second message that I preached in that series had to do with, we have an appointment with the Father. And so before my daughter got married, we had a daddy-daughter date, and you know, my kids have this mindset that every time I would say I need to talk to you, all three of them say, am I in trouble? Am I in trouble? And that same mindset happens to carry over to a lot of people in their Christianity, where they think that the only time that God ever pays attention to them is when he has correction in store. Well, I want you to know that our daddy-daughter date didn't have anything to do with her being in trouble. It had to do with the fact that I just wanted to spend an evening with her before life changed in a forever type manner. You know, I just want her to know that I love her, that I care for her, that I want to spend time with her. If that is how an earthly father feels, how much more so does the heavenly Father feel that same way towards us. And so don't miss out on the appointments that you have with the Heavenly Father. I preached that message from John chapter 14, that he's going, you know, Jesus was going to prepare a place for us, that where he is, there we may be also. It has everything to do with spending time with us. So that's just a little bit of the stuff that is going on around Merritt Assembly of God. This week we do have our small group Bible study. We're going through the book Leveling the Praying Field. That will be taking place on Wednesday night. We also have youth group on Wednesday night. We didn't have service last night. We don't have service this coming Sunday night, because this coming Sunday is our annual church Thanksgiving dinner. And so this week I'm just going to give you a heads up on the title, and that is that this week we have an appointment with praise. We have an appointment with giving thanks. We have an appointment to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We pray that you'll join us Sunday morning at 10:30, 9:30 for Sunday school. If you would be praying for our Sunday school teacher, Tim Garrison. He's off to Fiji. He's left last Thursday. He's preaching the Bible school graduation there in Fiji, as well as several other services throughout the nation of Fiji. So today I want to take you, we're talking about, and we're really winding down. We will be concluding this segment of study on Thou Shalt Not Lie this week. I want to talk to you about a little addressed issue when it comes to deception in the modern day church. Whenever we hear truth, we can either curl up our toes so that we miss out on the correction, and we hide ourselves in the corner so that we are, so that we continue to be unaware of what the Word of God has to say, or we can embrace revelation and say, you know what, I am tired of doing life that way. You know, as long as we feel like we can continue to do life a certain way, even if it doesn't produce the results that we think it should produce, then we'll continue to do it. It is only when we realize that failure to change will continue to fail to bring us the satisfaction and the fulfillment that God wants us to have. We need to embrace the truth of God's word, even when that truth is a uncomfortable word. Even when we might find, you know what, I need to move into a different mode of operation, if you will, so that I don't find myself on the wrong side of the equation once again. So let me take you to the book of Malachi. It's the last book in the Old Testament. So if you know where Matthew is, just turn left a few pages and you will come to Malachi. And everybody's saying, uh-oh, he's going to Malachi chapter 3. Everybody only preaches about Malachi chapter 3 because it has to do with tithing and all of that sort of stuff. But I want you to know there's some great stuff in Malachi chapter 4. There is great stuff in Malachi chapter 1. There is great stuff in Malachi chapter 2. You know what? There is truth in the Word of God, and we just need to dig into the Word of God and find out what truth God has for us in this passage. Verse number 1 says this: "The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, says the Lord, yet you say, in what way have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, says the Lord? Yet Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated, and laid waste his mountains and his heritage for the jackals of the wilderness. Even though Edom has said, we have been impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus says the Lord of hosts, they may build, but I will throw down. They shall be called the territory of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord will have indignation forever. Your eyes shall see, and you shall say, the Lord is magnified beyond the border of Israel. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence, says the Lord of hosts? To you, priests, who despise my name, yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? You offer defiled food on my altar, but say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably? Says the Lord of hosts. But now entreat God's favor that he may be gracious to us. While this is being done by your hands, will he accept you favorably? The answer to that question is no. Says the Lord of hosts. Who is there even among you who would shut the door so that you would not kindle fire on my altar in vain? I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from your hands. For from the rising of the sun even to its going down, my name shall be great among the Gentiles, and every place incense shall be offered to my name and a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. But you profane it, in that you say the table of the Lord is defiled, and its fruit, its food, is contemptible. You also say, oh, what a weariness! And you sneer at it, says the Lord of hosts, and you bring the stolen, the lame, and the sick. Thus you bring an offering. Should I accept this from your hand, says the Lord? But cursed be the deceiver who has in his flock a male and takes a vow, but sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is to be feared among the nations. So that was Malachi chapter 1. Malachi chapter 1 begins with this declaration from the Lord. I have loved you. I have loved you. The deceiver spends so much time trying to convince us that God, in fact, does not love us. When the very foundation of the relationship is a relationship of love. If he can shift our focus to, well, I didn't get this, and I didn't get that, and I didn't get this other thing, and this didn't happen, and that didn't happen, and look at the horrible things that happened over here. If we focus on all of that, we will miss the very fabric of the relationship that we have with God. And so I want you to remember to keep the very foundational aspect of the relationship front and center before your life, that God loves you, that Jesus loves you, that he has loved you. And we cannot entertain the thoughts that the enemy would try and plant into our minds that, in fact, God does not love us. Okay, why do you suppose that the enemy would try and convince us that God doesn't love us? Well, deceit is really one of his only tools that he has. He's been using it since the Garden of Eden. He uses it even after he is released from being bound in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. He still goes out and deceives the nation. It is one of his most effective weapons. Most people do not think that you will be lied to. And so the devil spends so much time trying to convince people that God doesn't love them, and that the devil really does love you, And nothing could be further from the truth. My wife and I were having a conversation after I preached a little over a week ago. I preached on Sunday night, and I preached a message that dealt with I am persuaded versus I am almost persuaded. And Romans chapter 8 talks about the I am persuaded, that nothing in this list is going to separate us from the love of God. That's what Paul wrote to the Romans in Romans chapter 8. And so I asked the question, so what does your list look like? Much of what is described there in Romans chapter 8, and there's two different segments that he provides a different list. But the goal is, there is nothing, I am persuaded that none of this is going to separate us from the love of God. And so we were talking about that, and after service she said, you know, in another one of your messages recently, you shared this, the devil did not die for us. That sickness did not die for us willingly. It didn't do it. Jesus is the one that paid the ultimate price. It is that expression of love that we need to continue to build upon. In a relationship that starts off being fabricated, woven together with love and compassion and tender mercies, if we ever shift from that, that relationship will be in jeopardy. Whether it is a parent and child relationship, whether it's a husband and wife situation, whether it's a staff situation, whatever it might be, if the enemy gets in and is able to convince one party or the other that there is no love there, then that relationship will be in jeopardy unless both parties come back to the realization we have loved one another, we love one another, and we are going to continue to love one another. It may sound very basic, but it is something that we have to remember. And I'll tell you, I've been very real. The past several weeks and months have been very, very busy. Very, very busy. High pace, you know, operating with very little margin. And, you know, every once in a while something comes up and compresses the margin timeline even more. And so I've said, you know what, God, I love you. And like a father carries his son, I just need to lean upon you right now. And this may be one of those seasons where God just carries me for a while. And I'm not sharing that with you to get you to feel sorry for my timeline or anything like that. That's not it. I mean, we've got good things. I mean, the timeline wasn't about bad things that were happening. The timeline was about great things that were happening. It's just a very busy season. And throw in there the holidays. And you see that there's a lot going on. But everything comes back to the relationship of love. So every once in a while I get to hang around with my kids, with my son and his family, and I get to watch him just carry his kids that are just exhausted from the activities of the day. And I want you to know today that the enemy will be unsuccessful in separating us from the love of God as long as we remember God has loved us, God will love us, and God is loving us right now. So he goes down and he says in verse number 6, a son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts. And if you were to ask the people, you can get an idea from the activities, the sacrifices that were being presented, the ministry that was going on, you would get the understanding that those priests that were serving the chosen people, that they felt like they were honoring and revering God. And yet when God asked, where is my honor and where is my reverence that is due me as a father and a master, God's never mistaken. When he says something's missing, something's missing. And I don't want us to buy into the devil's lie so that we exalt other things to the place that God should occupy. So let me ask you today, are we revering God? Are we giving him the honor? I believe that there needs to be a culture of honor in the body of Christ. It's not a culture of dishonor. It is a culture of honor. And if we reverence God, it's going to position us to be able to live a life that others are going to be able to look at and say, that's the type of life that I want to lead. And so I present this to you today. We're building up towards the latter part. This concept of honor is something that is interwoven in the activities of our lives. If I were to ask you, why did Moses not go into the promised land? The answer might surprise you. If you go back to the book of Exodus, Moses, every time he was asked, why are you not getting to go into the promised land? He says, well, it was because of these people that I was shepherding, and they were just whiners and complainers and moaners and groaners and all of that. And because of them, God was upset with me and I didn't get to go into the promised land. And he kept begging and begging and begging God. And God said, look, don't talk to me about this anymore. But if you read carefully what the scripture says, when God deals with him, it wasn't even the fact that he struck the rock that he was supposed to speak to. The first time God was going to use him to draw water out of the rock, he said, speak to the rock. The second time, or he said, strike the rock. The second time he said, just speak to the rock. And Moses got very upset and he said, why are you always treating us like this? And he got upset with the people and he struck the rock. But I want you to know, it wasn't just that act. There was something that was going on inside of his heart. And God deals with him and he says this, because you didn't trust in me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of these people, you don't get to go in. Because you did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy in a public setting. You see, honor is not something that is insignificant. Honor is a manifestation of the reliance upon God that we have. And it says, I'm going to do what God said, even though it's different than the last time I was in this situation, even though I don't understand how speaking to the rock is going to cause water to come out of it, I can understand that if I strike it with a rod, that maybe there's something that's dislodged, and all of a sudden there is this flow of water that's being impeded by an obstacle that is jostled loose and it suddenly moves. But I don't see how just speaking to a situation can affect it. Well, it's not our words, it's our obedience. It is our trust in which we honor God, not in a private place, but in a very public place. I remember several years ago when we were facing a hurricane, and it was scheduled. I mean, the chart had it, the projected path was coming right at us. And I was sitting at the dinner room table. Now, I don't get uptight about storms and things like that. You know, I like the fact that that one song says the winds and the waves still know your name, something along that line. They still know the authority of Jesus. And right there at the dinner table, God said, I want you to go out and I want you to speak to that storm and take your family with you. And so I asked them, I said, you want to go out and we're going to pray for protection. And so I did that. Was teaching through Psalm 91, I believe it was at the time. And my family went out there, and that's fine. I'm in my driveway. People see me out in my driveway all the time. They know I'm a pastor. They're not unfamiliar with the fact that I get up and pray and stuff like that. But then he said, I want you to post that on Facebook, what you just did, excuse me. And I said, oh, God, wait a minute. I mean, it's one thing for me to do this in private, but now you're asking me to take a step, and it's very public. And I want you to know that I did exactly what God said to do, and we watched as that storm moved off to sea. There was a little bit of damage that was done, but we had posted scriptures on the church and posted scriptures on the front door of our house. We live on a barrier island, and so we had to evacuate. And during that storm, there was a very large tree in my son's backyard, and that thing just came nestling down very gently, didn't even scratch a window. No damage was done whatsoever to his house. And I said, God, I'm so thankful that you are the God that we can trust and we can honor you as a holy and righteous God. He loves you today. Let's honor him as God. See you next time.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Holy God, and all is you.